Yeah, hello everyone. It's Dr. Joanne Hulketter with Performing Edge Coaching International, and today is Thursday, January 9th, 2020, our first call of the new year, the new decade, and it's actually an Olympic year, too, having the Olympics in Japan. So wanted to talk about kind of moving forward, building momentum for this year, for 2020, and talk about, before moving forward, of course, it's good to look back at the past year and kind of reflect on your journey through the past year and what's been most useful for you and the learning process there. So I wanted to talk about setting your intentions for 2020 and making this year your most productive, most creative, most lucrative ever, and then how to do your own kind of personal professional evaluation and lessons you've learned and from upsets, maybe mistakes or setbacks, and then lessons learned to move forward from those that usually make us stronger and wiser. It's a good time too for you to get client feedback from the clients you've worked with, how to obtain that from clients and learn from that so that we can grow as coaches. And then questions to ask yourself for honest self-evaluation and, you know, recognizing your true value as a coach to move forward, what your uniqueness is, what areas you want to specialize in. And then just having a gratefulness for the field that we're in. It's such a wonderful field, sports psychology, coaching, and there's such a need for this. You can make a difference in so many people's lives. Being grateful for that, for what you are able to do, appreciating your own gifts, and then looking back at this past year, the highlights, what you accomplished or the best things that happened. I call it headwinds and tailwinds, kind of the things that kept you, tailwinds moving forward, and then headwinds, the obstacles, and looking at both of those things, to really recognize your achievements there. And then it's a good time, too, to do big picture thinking. Take some time for that to look at the big picture of where you've been and where you're going, listening to your own inner voice, your kind of own inner heart and where you've come from, so that you can determine where to go this year. If there's anything, if you want to keep going in the same direction or any changes you want to make, forming the basis for your goals this year. And then I also have a evaluation tool that you can use for your athletes for after a competition that I wanted to share with you also. So first, I wanted to welcome, we have a new person in our program, Dave. Welcome, Dave, and I just want to take a moment to introduce yourself, why you wanted to take the Performing Edge Coaching Certification course.
Sure.
Go ahead, Dave.
Yes, so my name is Dave Cudworth.
Can you maybe speak up, or is there, turn up the volume,
sure,
or talk into your phone,
sure,
a bit more?
Absolutely. So my name is Dave Cudworth. I'm a licensed mental health counselor in Washington State. Been doing this for about 16 years. I work for the Snohomish County Juvenile Courts, and I've been predominantly doing family therapy, and I have a private practice where I see clients individually. And that's kind of nice because it's really close to my home. And my goal is to transition and move towards working with athletes, because I have quite a few youth show up into my office, mostly for family issues these days. But in my work with other colleagues, they're telling me that they're coming across a lot of young men, young women who are unable to basically manage themselves in kind of a sporting venue. Like, they're just not able to get out there. There's a lot of anxiety. And I feel like that would be a very good kind of move for me. And as a former athlete, I was a javelin thrower in college and football player and golf, soccer, and all that. I feel like it's kind of my next transition, my next evolution. And, I really like working with that population from 18 to 25-year-olds. So I feel like that would be a good match for me.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Dave. Good to hear from you, and glad that you're in the program. Yeah, so we have people from all over the country, U.S., and all over the world in the program, and lots of people from all walks of life, too. It's kind of really exciting. So let's see. I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of dive into our content here and prepping for 2020 as performing edge coaches. You know, we want to, you know, people can talk about in general evaluating your business and that kind of thing, but we want to focus, you know, specifically on mental training and mental performance and business goals for your own coaching. And so this is a good time of year that's key for your own learning and appreciating what you have and recognizing what you've done and looking at the big picture for this coming year, as well as the specific areas that you work in and excel in. And, you know, you kind of see the forest and the trees, so you want to see the big picture and then the details also. And so I think, like, just like athletes have an award ceremony, you know, after a competition where the top three or top five athletes get onto a podium, you know, just like we see the athletes get their give their acceptance speeches at their awards events, I think it's good for us also, looking back at this past year, to give yourself your own private awards recognition, you know, your own sort of gold stars, maybe how you've helped specific clients, or pieces you've written or created, things like articles, or, you know, if you've created a blog or a website or ebooks, or maybe you've given a presentation somewhere, videos you created or podcasts, or tell seminars, anything that you've done, to kind of look at those and look at the connections you've made, you know, just relationships you've built with people, maybe with athletes or coaches or programs or groups you've started. Some of you work with individual athletes, some of you work with teams. So that's good to look at all of that. And, you know, and then if you've gone attended conferences or different learning situations, what you've learned there, and through your own research. And then it's good to ask yourself, well, what if my clients taught me? What are some things that I've learned from my clients? Because we teach them, and they also teach us a lot of things. So it's good to know that. I know, for instance, I'm working with a 14-year-old swimmer right now, and she was struggling with her coach and having difficulty with dealing with the communications there. And the coach, she said that the coach has been yelling at her, swearing at her, and you know, which is not good at all. And a lot of coaches do that. And she said, I'll give you a quick story. She said, well, he said he apologized to me. And I said, well, what did he say? It's really important to define that. And she said, well, he said, I'm sorry that you feel that way. And so I learned that, you know, it's really important to do a follow-up question, because it was a good learning moment to be able to say, that's not an apology. And to say, you know, kind of help her to understand what an apology really is. An apology is something that you, where someone says, I'm sorry for what I did, and then describe, you know, define the behavior that you did and how it hurt you. And then to be able to say, and here's how I'm planning to change. Here's how I'm working toward changing. All of that. And she thought, oh, yeah, you're right. He didn't apologize. Or that apology is actually have something much more than that. So that was a learning point for me to be able to identify that. Oh, did someone else just join us?
Yeah, hi. This is Evan.
Oh, hi, Evan. How are you? Glad to have you on a call. And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to everyone, yep.
Yeah, okay, great. Yeah, we have a new person, Dave, in our program too, and joining us. And we were just talking about some of the things that we can be doing to evaluate the past year so that we can move forward. But do you want to, just since we have a new person, Dave, on the call, do you want to introduce yourself, Evan, and just what kind of athletes you're working with and all?
Sure. So I'm French, and I based in Michigan, and I work primarily with swimmers, runners, a little bit of golfers, lacrosse teams. And this mental training is part of my, like, half of my business. The other part is life and business coaching. So, yeah.
Yeah, great. Nice. And you go to France sometimes too, right, where you're from?
Yep, definitely. I go back to France twice a year, so I get some athletes over there. And I'm actually the news for this year is we're actually moving. My family and I are moving back to Europe, to Czech Republic, to Prague. So.
Oh, wow.
That's going to be a new adventure, yep.
Moving there permanently, or?
Yep, for, we don't know for how long, but for a few years.
Oh, great. Yeah, well, the nice thing about our program, of course, is you can call in from anywhere.
Yep, okay.
And keep everything going. So, yeah, so that's great. Yeah, I know, Evan, you've been with the program a long time. And it's, yeah, great to have you. So when are you moving there?
It's going to be around June. Yep, it's going to be around June.
Okay. Well, you can be working with athletes over there then as well, right?
Yep, definitely.
Yeah.
Different culture, different sports. So it's going to be interesting.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I was just talking about evaluating the past year so that we can set goals to move forward. And I know each of us are in different places with our coaching practice. Some of you just started the Performing Edge coaching course here, and some of you have finished the course. And are doing our ongoing mentoring. Some of you are longtime certified coaches in the program, and some of you are new to coaching, and many of you are more experienced coaches in this area or other areas. So I wanted to kind of look at some of the questions that we can ask ourselves first, and you know, so that you can set your intentions for this year, and you know, kind of go into it with an attitude of curiosity, kind of like a hike through nature, through a forest, open to the possibilities of what you might see. And so, first, I just want to ask, and then I was going to go into some categories to review some specific things, like. A systems review of what kinds of things need to be in place or adjusted, or what you want to do, update or do differently, the things that you can ask yourself. So first, let's just have a couple of questions to ask all of you. You know, ask yourself, what are my achievements or projects or people or clients that I've made progress with this past year, or areas I've completed? So that's I know the question was a lot of different areas in it, but can you each ask yourself, you know, what are my, I think I put this in the email too, what are my achievements and projects, or if you can you think of one client that you worked with that you, you know, really was satisfying for you, or that you made a lot of progress with? So, yeah, let me just ask each of you so that you can kind of, identify something, and it's good to be able to write that down and give yourself a gold star for that, or credit, inner credit kind of thing, so that you can be able to build on that, build on those successes. So, Dave, are you there? Do you want to go ahead and say something? Anything that's an achievement or someone that you made progress with?
So because I'm new to the sports psychology piece, right, I don't have a sports psychology client yet, but I can say that, you know, I'm a contract holder working with some of the most difficult teenagers and families, and I think in the state, maybe in the nation, just, you know, with the gang piece and just the challenges around that, to connect with a young man or young woman who is just in transition and struggling.
Is you working in the juvenile justice system? Is that right?
Yes. So I have to find a way to engage those kids, to have that in, to talk in the language that they will understand me. And I think that's a good way to look at, you know, work with all of my clients is, you know, we're going to find that common language. I'm going to give you a path. Right. And most of the young men and young women I work with, they want that path. And so if I kind of transition that towards what I believe will be the sports psychology kind of mindset, right, helping them find their path, their journey. And I imagine I'm probably going to see some parents, too, at some point who are struggling with their kiddos, you know, their youth, in terms of helping them get over their anxiety or depression or whatever they're struggling with. So, you know, they can go on and live their best life.
Right. Well, great. Yeah, you can take the skills that you've learned from the working with kids, difficult kids, and bring that right into your sports psychology clients, I'm sure. Yeah,
yes.
For sure. Yeah, that's great. And, Dave, what kind of sports clients do you want to work with? What sports or what kind of age groups?
So I would say probably 16 to 30, kind of in that range. I think college athletes would be ideal as well. You know, I'm a track athlete, javelin. I was a sprinter. I still run. You know, golf would be great too. So I'm just trying to kind of envision the like you said, like envision those athletes that I believe would be a good match to my skill set too, so I can give them the most, you know, what they need. So I think that would be kind of that range I'm looking for. And it's not surprising when I, like in my private practice, when I set out, these are the clients that I'm suited to work with, those are the clients that show up. Those consistently, and I mean, and usually very quickly too. So I'm being mindful of that, like really targeting the kind of athletes that I think I'd be a good match for, I think will be important.
Yeah, okay, great. Thanks, Dave. And how about you, Evan? Evan, do you have a best achievement or something that you feel good about or a client that you worked with? I know you work with a lot of high-level clients, too, athletes, right?
Yeah, I had a few swimmers who did pretty well last year, qualifying for the European Championship, Junior European Championship. And some of them, you know, a little bit younger, but very good. And I stopped working with them, with some of them, end of the summer, but I just received an email from someone saying, I've been, you know, through a tough time lately because they had an I don't know what kind of issue in the nose, but I almost stopped swimming and actually I can continue. But I really had to go through that tough time and I used what we did last year and I used the audio that you created last year for me and it really helped me get back to my level. So that was very, I was grateful to just, you know, learn that because I hadn't heard from them, from that guy for 6 months. So it was very good. And then there's a golfer that I feel pretty proud, really helped her enjoy golf again, where she was so frustrated and reached the top 10 in the States, something she, like, really upscaled her game, up her game, but also enjoy, you know, enjoy the experience of golf, which she had lost. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, that's great, yeah. I know you've helped so many top-level, you know, swimmers, and then you're a triathlete yourself, right? Or runner?
Yeah, I'm a marathon runner? former swimmer, triathlete, and still running. Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. one of my goals, so we're all in this group here, we're all runners. Actually, this summer, one of my goals is to do the Escape from Alcatraz triathlon. Have you all heard of that?
Yeah,
because it's here in San Francisco. There's a company that's going to sponsor me, which is kind of exciting because it's really very expensive to race to enter. But you they take you out on a boat, and then you Alcatraz, and then you swim, dive in from the boat to icy cold water, 55 degree water, really crazy cold, and then swim 1.7 miles, almost 2 miles into shore. And then you bicycle 18 miles, very hilly terrain through San Francisco, and then run 8 miles through very hilly terrain also. So it's the swim is probably the most challenging part. So interesting. Yeah, you both would probably love doing that.
Yes, the current top of Alcatraz, easy going, right?
Yeah, and then the currents is another thing. They might sweep you out to sea. Great. So, and then another question I wanted to ask all of you is what's one of the biggest lessons you learned from this last year working with it could be with a client or with your business, something that you learned from them, or maybe it was a difficult client to work with, or a relationship that you had to build, or a difficult project. If you can think of something that where you had a lesson learned kind of thing.
Sure.
Or you could talk about something that you'd like to improve upon. Dave, you want to go ahead?
Sure. So I would say that for so many of the kids that, and youth I'm working with, the distractions of life, the phone, social media, all of these things, it's just the constant pull on them to be other places than present. And so, that's one thing that I'm working on too, because we can constantly be on our phones and looking down instead of being face to face and present and focused. So that's one thing that I've worked on over the past year. And it's tough because, youth will bring, or even adults will bring phones in. And when we have that happen, we lose our ability to kind of have that present focus, but that banter that we have, kind of that chit-chat that builds relationships. So that's one thing I've focused in over the past year. It's not surprisingly, people are resistant at first, but once we get into it and like the phones are to the side or turned off, relationships improve. We can do the work that we're setting out to do. So, as I move forward, I'm going to be mindful of that. Just keeping in the moment and present.
Yeah. Do you set a rule kind of thing when you're talking with them to turn the phones off?
It depends on the kid, because if they show up and it's obviously so attached to them, it's like an emotional support device, they have to have it close. So, I'll make sure on the front end we just make an agreement. We cut a deal. That way I don't have to constantly ask them. But if they have to touch it or be close to it, that battle was not worth fighting sometimes. It just, they'll have to have it close by. That's pretty common in my world these days.
Yeah, it's frustrating. Yeah, it's actually changing the way our brains work, I guess research is showing, where people have difficulty having sustained deep conversations because of the distractions. And if you can teach them, like with athletes, teach them that it's a skill, just like you have to focus on being able to run, to do a certain interval in a certain time. You need all your focus to be able to do that. Then that requires putting the phone away, kind of thing. It Yeah, it's a discipline. It's interesting. We hear now, you know, people say, "Oh, New Year's resolutions." Usually, it's people want to lose weight, eat less, exercise more, and now they're adding to that, change your social media habits. That's actually a thing now, you know, on the list you hear of people actually, because it's an addiction.
Yeah.
Changing sure. social media habits, they're changing your phone habits. So people have to work on that as a goal.
Yes.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, great. How about you, Evan? Give something, a lesson that you learned last year or something you want to improve upon?
What comes to me, I was trying to think, was one of the last session workshop I did for swimmers in December. I used to, like, for a year I've been there and do some more group workshops, you know, 45 minutes where I'm going to address a topic like confidence, visualization, negative self-talk, all that kind of thing. And the last one I did, I had a small group, maybe six swimmers, and I did something a little bit more interactive where, you know, I think we had done a conference call where, you know, with questions to ask ourselves or ask our athletes. And so I went through these questions about the what, the why, you know, they're doing this sport, their care, all this. And I had them write on a piece of paper and keep for later for them to remember. And they absolutely loved it. Like they said, that was one of the best sessions. So what I learned is really to, in this format of group, you know, sitting with people, like the more you can have them reflect and think, the better, rather than me just, you know, teaching them some techniques or some things. I try to have them, of course, to open the discussion, but really having this reflection time for them to dig into their own what, why, and et cetera was really good. So I'm going to try to do more of that next. So.
Oh, yeah, that's great, Evan. And I think that's good to do as a principal working with athletes individually, too, and in groups, is to have them, when there's an issue, have them come up with the answer or the reflect on what they could do. For instance, I was something I learned with this 14-year-old swimmer I'm working with now. She has also wanted to work with test-taking strategies because she's going to be taking the SAT. At 14 years old, their kids are taking the SAT now. But it's crazy, way too early for school, for college, so they can continually improve their scores. And she gets really distracted and has difficulty with that. And so I said, and then also worries about, am I going to have enough time to finish the test, and lots of negative thinking. So I asked her, well, what if you had a friend that had that problem, say a friend of yours came up and said, I'm getting so distracted on tests and looking at everyone else, what would you tell that friend? Or what would you advice would you give them, or what's the opposite of that? And then she came up with, and she says, the test is so boring, the questions are so boring. And she came up with the greatest answers, you know, just asking her. If we think of how we would coach a friend, then they come up with really much better answers than if they had to do that themselves. So she said, well, I would tell that friend, you know, to pretend like it's the most interesting question you've ever come across, or, you know, or that this an essay question, the story they're telling here is really, you know, fascinating, and just pretend like it's really something you're interested in. So it was great. She came up with that herself, you know, maybe even a better answer than I could give. And because it came from her, she's, you know, more likely to implement it. And she said that, yeah, and I gave her that phrase, act as if. you know, act as if it's already happening. And she said, oh, I did some acting classes. And I said, oh, great. Well, what did you learn in your acting classes? And so, you know, you bring in the strengths that athlete has when she was doing acting. She said, oh, you put all your emotion into it and you're right there in the situation and you get into that character. So, you know, we did a whole thing of imagining, okay, get into the character of being a great test taker, right? That's your actor, and you're so excited and just really into every question, and you can't wait to get through this question and get to the next question, and your total focus is on the test, and that's pretend like you're in a play, and that's not that exciting of a play, but you're the actor, actress of that play. So that's an example of a lesson that I learned too, and how you can help athletes and like you said, Evan, help them reflect and help them come up with their own answers. So yeah, so that was a really good thing to learn there. And then let's see, one other question I wanted to ask all of you, how, you know, the work you did this past year, how did it impact your growth, your own growth as a performing edge coach or as a counselor, or Dave, in your case, since you're new to this program, you know, say your work with kids in the juvenile delinquent system, justice system, how did something that they did impact your own growth there, and you know, how did you grow as a person or as a professional? Dave, you want to go first?
Sure. that is a heavy duty question because the kids are so, you know, they're so challenging. And you know, I've been doing this, almost 17 years. So, you know, there's not much that I haven't seen. And that's just it. Like, the further we get along, like, the clients teach me something each and every session. There's a little piece that I can pull from that. And I think what I've taken most this year in terms of my skill set, my expertise, is that the clients will lead the way. And just because I have this expertise, right, it's backdrop and it's guidance, but it's not so kind of over the top that the clients feel like I'm the expert telling them what to do, because I think the longer you do something like that, you can get into that expert role and just kind of just be pushing and pushing, but the client has to be lockstep with you. And I feel like that's been my growth this year, is that there's a little bit of humility, a lot of engagement, a lot of empathy, you know, and I'm mindful, like, as I move into the coaching piece, that, you know, it's not counseling in that aspect of, like, we're digging deep into their history, you know, all that history, but we're teaching them skills. We're staying in that present moment. So I would say that for me, just this year, what I've learned most of all is just to engage that client where they're at and to do it with empathy and care. And to be mindful of my expert status, because I've seen it all doesn't mean I know it all, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, be mindful of what you know and what you can still learn, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, great. Okay, thanks, Dave. And Evan, do you have an area where you feel like you, on something you did with clients, impacted your own growth, or how you've grown as a performing edge coach or in your sports psychology?
Yeah, for me, because I work with a lot of different swimmers and runners, I really learned how different everyone is. And so it was interesting to come up with a different approach, different perspective each time. So that was pretty interesting. And just knowing that there's no one right answer, no one-size-fits-all way to approach things. So that was kind of interesting. And also, I had to just continue create some content, because people like these teams were asking me to come again and again. And so it just forced me to come up with new topics and with new ideas, which will then serve me. You know, I can propose that now to new teams. So I kind of build a sort of a program along the year based on what these guys were asking for me. So.
Yeah, great. So, yeah, building your program, yeah, kind of letting your clients lead the way, building a program for based on what they need. I got a little frog in my throat. Working that out. So, good. Yeah, so... Yeah, it's good to sometimes, especially in sessions with a client, to let them lead the way. And yeah, with each session, you know, you can start with what's on your mind or what you want to work on today, as opposed to having a preset. A preset program that you need to do, depending on, you know, what whether you're working with a group or with individuals. So good, yeah. Those are some things that you can continue to work on with writing those things down, with answering those questions. They're in the email there, under that first little section, a list of questions, and then. I guess one other question to ask is what do you, this year, kind of, what's one project or one goal or one thing that you'd like to work toward, maybe something to stretch your goals or a way to, something that you'd like to do? You know, this year, 2020, that's, you know, expanding on what you did in 2019, that's something that, you know, kind of big picture thinking, what would you like this year to look like, kind of thing. Dave, do you want to answer that?
Sure. So, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Evan, okay, go ahead, Dave.
So this year, my goal, what I'd like to see happen, is I'd have, once I complete the program, right, I'm going to make contact with, I have several, you know, old friends, people, actually somebody I went to high school who's the athletic director at University of Washington, and so she, I believe, would be willing to kind of grease the wheel for me as far as making contact with athletes. And my goal would be to have at least, I'd say, 15 to 30 clients by the end of the year, like to have started and be working with as many clients as possible. And part of that process was setting up my office just down the street for me, which is now done. So I'm really trying to just lay the foundation for that to occur. You know, but first things first, right? I need to get through the certification program here. I feel like I have a lot to learn, the difference between coaching and counseling for me, and making sure that I'm in that role of coach, and kind of learning the skills that I need to learn, so I can give that to the clients, the athletes I work with. I think that's going to be an important piece for me. To make sure I have a nice, it's not going to be perfect, I know, but a presentation and a package when I see that first client, so I'm squared away so I can give them what they need. So that's really my goal.
Great. Sounds good. Yeah, it sounds like you're really clear with that. And that's good. Yeah, so much we can learn, and we're always learning. I've been doing this successfully 30 years now, and I'm always still learning all the time. So that's the fun thing about it is you always get new clients and new challenges, new projects to work on. There's no limit to what you can do in this field. It's really exciting. And our clients are always bringing new issues forward. So good. Thanks, Dave. And how about you, Evan? What would you like this year to look like? Now it sounds like you're moving. That'll be a big change, and you'd probably have to establish some different clients where you're moving to.
Yeah, so for me, there's a couple of things. I had started to, I think I want to create sort of a program, support program for coaches, not for athletes, and I have a few people interested in that. So I'm not sure if I will have a lot of time and energy to focus on that, but that's one project I'd like to set up, like bi-weekly or once a month, a call and sort of giving cues to coaches of what they can do to work on mental aspects with their athletes. But primarily because it's 2020, because it's the Olympics, I'd love to have one athlete go to the Olympics. So I have actually three athletes in mind who are targeting to get there. And I'm not yet working with them for budget issues. They need some scholarship, or like they're waiting for to know if they got scholarship or not, to hire me or not. So I will discuss with them, you know, find a way to support them, hopefully, and have one of them get to the Olympics. That would be a cool year. And why not get there myself?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you might be able to. That'd be great if you can go to Japan. So that would be great. Well, that's wonderful. If you have three athletes in mind already that are Olympic hopefuls. So, yeah, that's good. And I've, with the Olympics, yeah, it's this summer in Japan, the Olympics will be held. And I'm had my athletes at the last five Olympic Games and hoping to also work with some Olympians that are working with some now that are hoping to make the team. So we'll see. What happens with that, and also you can think about, you could interview Olympic hopeful athletes, you know, if you have a podcast or something, that's another way to be involved and to be, you know, kind of an expert in the area of Olympics to get to know them better and to be an expert. There's always issues that come up and lots of additional pressures that athletes have. And then, then you can take those lessons that athletes learn and teach other people too, kind of Olympic lessons, what the average person can learn. So, so that's great. Evan, the athletes that you have, one athlete you're working with, is that a swimmer? Or which sport are you working with?
Yeah, they're... one swimmer I worked with last year, and there's also a runner, hurdler, a lady who's actually already made the Olympics years ago, and she's at the end of her career. And then another swimmer, yeah.
Okay, great. so that's good. So I'd encourage you all to continue to write about that answer to that question, what you'd like this year to look like, and, you know, take some time to do some big picture thinking. It doesn't have to be all in one sitting, maybe once 1 hour a week for 4 weeks or so to write down what you'd like things to look like.
Mm-hmm.
And then below that, right, get into the details of what you'd like each area of your work to look like. So some categories to review, I was going to go over some of these now, of asking yourself, you know, what you've learned from these different areas that I'm going to talk about, and also, or if you're new to the program, what you'd like to learn. So with the Performing Edge Coaching course here, reviewing the course modules and materials. If you've already taken the course, you can always go back and review the materials in the program. And actually, there's it's such a huge resource because if you look on the page that says schedule, on the right-hand side, there's a yellow button that says schedule, and click on that, and then it gives you the eight modules, and then below that are it's actually replays from the last something like 5 years, 5 or 6 years of our program. So there's a real wealth of recordings there. And then so that's available to you there. So even with new people like Dave, you can go there and listen to some of the replays at the bottom.
Yep, I listened to it last night. It was good stuff.
Oh, good.
Very good.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah, it's a wonderful resource there. And then, doing a kind of a systems review of what systems or areas of your practice need to be that you'd like to put in place or update or adjust. Like, I think of it in terms of three P's, products, presence, and place. There are three areas to look at. So products would be things that you produce, or it could be a coaching also, of course, and any audios that you produce or books or recordings, that kind of thing would be products. And then presence would be your marketing, your presence on the web and your presence in the real world. So looking at that area with all the different aspects of marketing. And then place is your physical place, like your office, wherever your work environment is. And we all need to work on that part, the paper avalanche or piles in the room, and so just kind of organizing your office and so that you can easily find things and things are efficient for you. So those are three areas to look at: products, presence, and place. And, of course, there's many layers to that with your business. You want to, through this past year and then going into next year, go through all the aspects of your business, your website if you have one, and updating things there. Just things like at the bottom of your, I need to do this myself, the bottom of the website where there's a date, change the date from 2019 to 2020. Some websites have a rotating, automatic date that updates there. If you're using WordPress for your website, which I recommend, which is, a free software program, makes it easy to build your own website. And, there's things to be updated, make sure that things like the WordPress, they're always coming out with new versions, so make sure it's updated to the latest version. And the plugins, which are the little pieces of software that go with it, the plugins are all up to date. And your theme, the look and feel of your site, see if that needs to be updated. And so just looking at all those different aspects is good to go through. And I'll go through some of these in more depth on other calls. And then YouTube is important. Just one thing that needs to be updated if you have a YouTube channel, I recommend starting one. They're free. And I received an email from YouTube, you might have also, saying that they're making some changes there, and it's important to, they're requiring that everyone go through and put, designate whether your channel is material for kids or not for kids. And so because they're having problems with kids, too many kids going on the website and this content is not appropriate for kids, like child pornography being put on there, and too many kids are sharing things, personal things about themselves. They don't realize that it's going to be, there forever kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so YouTube has, had some problems with that, and so they're requesting that everyone needs to, you have to designate your channel, your YouTube channel, as for kids or not for kids. And I would recommend that you check the box that says not for kids, just because even though if your material is for kids, it's just that they're because of all the problems they've been having, they're going to treat your channel differently, so it won't get as much viewing and won't get as much they won't allow comments, and they're going to restrict a lot of things if you say that your YouTube channel is for kids. So it's better to check the box that says not for kids. And I'll send an email to all of you with the instructions for that. It's really simple how to do it. You just go in the email there, it says you go to studio.youtube.com, and then it gives you instructions. And then, so that's good to update that, because for most people with YouTube, if you're working with kids, it's the parents that are going to be looking at the YouTube channel first anyway to find a sports psychology coach to work with their kids. So most of our material is probably for adults, and then to work with kids. But I just want to give you that update with YouTube so that you know. And it's good in general to make sure that if you have a YouTube channel that you have some activity on there. Sometimes if there's been no activity for 6 months, they may just shut down or discontinue your YouTube channel. So, we tend to think, oh, once you have something, a YouTube channel, a Facebook page, all these things will be there forever. But actually, it's their real estate. It's not the only, so that's why it's really important to have your own website, because then that's your real estate. And with these social media channels, they can change the rules anytime. They can go away anytime. They could put restrictions there anytime. And so we have to be aware of those and make sure that YouTube is a really valuable resource. So if you have a channel, make sure that you just upload a video every now and then. It could be 1 minute long, but something very simple. But just to be able to do that will help show that you're active there. And some other things I just wanted to mention are our domain names. If you have domain names like I have Your Performing Edge and performingedgecoach.com, you want to make sure that those are paid up to date. Usually we pay for a year or two at a time, kind of thing, through GoDaddy or wherever your hosting is, and you want to make sure that those are paid for, because if all of a sudden they're not, I've had friends who all of a sudden their website went away because the domain name wasn't paid for. So things like that are just important to review and make sure that they're paid up well in advance, kind of thing. A couple other things I just want to mention, and then I wanted to let you know that we're going to have another call, second and fourth Thursday of the month, so the next one will be on January the 23rd, so you can mark your calendar for that, the fourth Thursday of the month, and we'll go over some more things, some interesting things about habits, the psychology of forming, of changing habits and forming good habits, both for ourselves and for our athletes. So I've got some really interesting material to present to you on that so that we can all form good habits for the new year. Another thing I wanted to mention with going back to our list here with systems review is to, things that it's really important to protect your business and the safety of your data. Things that we overlook, we just take for granted that, you know, that the data that we have, our computers, is safe. But, this last year, California had, which you may have heard of, very severe wildfires, and PG&E, our power system, they decided to preemptively shut down the power for 3 to 5 days, and it was just crazy here in the Bay Area for all of us. It's for 3 million people, three quarters of the Bay Area. There was no power, no electricity, no phone, no internet. Can you imagine living without any of those things for 3 to 5 days? And so, if you went to a store to try to find, some of the stores are open, but you try to find a backup power system, something that was, they're all sold out. And so it just made me realize how important it's important to have some sort of electric backup system in case the power goes out. Probably Dave, you're in Washington, and Evan, you're back east. Sometimes maybe the power might go out because of storms, and so you might be used to that. But it's really important to have a power outage backup of some sort, something that you can, that stores power. You can look for them online so that you, if the power goes out, you can still plug in your computer and back it up maybe 3 to 5 times so that you can still stay in business. You can still hopefully, like for me, I could drive where I was, the power was out for almost 4 days, but I could drive into town and at least be able to call. I had to actually do sessions in my car in town where I could get phone reception. So it's important to be able to have a plan B in case the power does go out in your area. And that also brings up having a backup system, data for your computer, because your client data is really precious. And so it's important to have an external hard drive of some sort, and also back up your data online somewhere so that if power goes out or your computer goes out, you can always have that backup. And with external hard drives, I've always had the older kind with where it's a spinning disk, but those disks can fail. So it's better to, the newer ones are called solid state disks, and where they don't have any spinning parts, so they're much more reliable. So, and they're very inexpensive. I just got one for $60, and they're tiny, about the size of a credit card. It's just tiny, so that if you do have to run out of the house because of an earthquake or a tornado or a fire, emergencies. Your data is secure, especially your client data. So, and then just looking at, we look at the health of our clients and our athletes, but it's also good to make sure that your computer is healthy as well, to, make sure that it has all the right antivirus software and everything is that you're cleaning out all the unnecessary files and that kind of thing. So it's good to just go through that as you we do our year-end review of things going into the new year, so you can go into the new year fresh kind of thing. So those are some things. Then you want to review your social media as well. You know, make sure that the privacy settings on your Facebook. As I understand, every time they do a new update on Facebook, they change the privacy settings back to the default, which is crazy. So it's important to go there, make sure that you have everything set up the way that you want in terms of your what you want to appear on these different websites. I think that YouTube and LinkedIn are probably the most important ones to to focus on going forward. But Instagram as well, a lot of younger people use. So those are some things that I wanted to talk about. Also, your hosting provider, make sure, whoever hosts your website, you want to make sure that you communicate with them and use their resources on the site. Get a good provider for hosting your website that you trust. I moved mine away from HostGator because there's some major problems with their company, and I moved mine to what's called SiteGround. It's a great host, so I'd recommend them. SiteGround, S-I-T-E, and then Ground, G-R-O-N-D, are really good people that provide excellent support. So that's one thing that I did that I feel safer about, because your website is your business, basically. It's how people find you, and you really, that's really important, and you want to have a web host that can be someone that you can rely on, and that keeps your data secure, keeps your website secure, so that they have a special way of doing it there, so that if someone else's website gets infected with viruses, that your website doesn't get infected with those. So it's a really good thing to find a good hosting provider that works for you. So those are some things. And then I wanted to, just make a list of the kinds of ideal clients that you would like to work with, like we were talking about earlier, because it's important. If you, just like we have our athletes use visualization for visualizing their goals, we can do the same thing and use those powerful visualization tools ourselves for being able to visualize the kind of year that you'd like to have, the kind of clients that you want to attract, and the kind of practice that you want to have, and the kind of work that you want to be doing. Because if you can see it, then it's much more likely to happen for you. And then you can make a list, if you like, of different skills and areas that you would like to be trained on. That's what these calls are for. So if you have areas that you'd like me to address, things going forward, anything that you want me to talk about on these trainings, then please forward them to me and send me an email, and I'd be happy to address those in our upcoming calls here. So we'll have our next call on January the 23rd, and we'll talk more. I have more on my list here to go over also. Also I wanted to mention, with your clients, getting feedback from them, you could ask your clients, this is a really good question to ask them as you work with them, what would you like more of and what would you like less of? Is a good way to ask your clients, not was my work with you helpful, something, just get a yes or no, but more of an open-ended question to get real feedback so that you can learn from your clients. What would you like more of? What would you like less of? And you could ask, how did you improve, maybe physically, emotionally, mentally? Ways to communicate with your coach. You could ask that. Not asking yes or no, did you improve, but ask them, how did you improve, or in what ways do you feel like you improved emotionally, mentally, physically? Ask your clients that. You could ask them also, what did they learn from you, so that you can know what's working, and And then just for yourself, you can get this from your own records to say how long did they stay on working with you, and be able to, you know, I've had clients ranging from one, just a couple sessions to one client's been with me 12 years now, as amazing, an adult client that I've worked with. So you can really have some really satisfying long-term clients as well. And sometimes they go from just working with you on just one specific sport to more life issues. Maybe they've got something else that they're working on, a project at work. And so you can work on a variety of areas with one client. And then you could make a note of the sports, the results or accomplishments that you've seen with your clients. First, the tangible results, you know, maybe races they've won or different times that they achieved, or if they got an A ranking. Like I had this one swimmer that just got three A times in her swim meets. So she's able to qualify, you know, going up from regionals to the states and the state competitions, that kind of thing. And then you could ask also about intangible results. You know, are your clients becoming, maintaining their own mental health or improving that? Are they using the performing edge techniques that you've taught them, like visualization, power words, anchoring, that kind of thing? Are they becoming more reflective? Maybe are they able to communicate better? Kind of soft skills, intangible results. Ask them about those so that you know what they're achieving. And then now ask what improvements would they like in your coaching. They might want more of, you know, they might want you to change, like one client said, my visualization audios were hard to listen to because they're too long. They're 10 or 15 minutes is too long. She'd like them to be 5 or 7 minutes. So simple change like that. If they're younger clients, usually they want a shorter kind of audio visualization. And some clients want to be seen more often, or they want, some want more structure, some want less structure. So it's good to get that kind of feedback from clients on an ongoing basis so you know how to adjust your working with them, and that'll make it more personal for them. So great. Well, so I just wanted to, so we'll talk more about these topics next time on January 23rd, but just wanted to check in at the end. I like to ask you each what learning or what nugget, is there something, a takeaway from this talk today, from our conversation, that you can take with you, some nuggets that you learned or something that you would like to do moving forward? What's the best thing that you learned today from our call here? Dave, are you still on the call?
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, yeah, I'd like to say I appreciate, you know, Evan's feedback and input, probably due to the fact that, you know, he's doing the work, and that gives me some insight as to kind of what it might look like. And I'd be interested to hear about some of the skills that he's using in his sessions and kind of for the future. You know, is it important for athletes to have their coaches show up at times? You know, is that something that we might do over time? And what might be the breakdown as far as in-person sessions versus phone sessions and the effectiveness one versus the other? Imagine I'm be doing quite a bit of phone work at times. But, you know, especially for you, Evan, what that looks like as far as you actually meeting people in person. Sounds like you do quite a bit of that. And how you got your first couple of clients. What did that look like? What was that process? So I'm looking forward to hearing more about that, and I appreciate it.
Okay, great. Evan, what was something, a takeaway that you have, or
Well, first, Frank, I'd be happy if you we can exchange email, and I'd be happy to, you know, just jump on a phone call with you to share more if you want, Dave.
Okay. And I can send you each your contact information. Yeah, I'll send you each the contact info. That might be the easiest way. Yeah.
Yeah, because I actually do through Skype in person and over the phone and group and one-on-one, so I kind of do a little bit of everything, so I'd be happy to share.
Great.
And my takeaway, I don't have a particular one. I think it's always, I was just going through my own things as you were talking, right, and it just brought some ideas back on the top of my mind. I was like, hey, here is what I should do. So it's always good to, you know, shake things up in my head. Yeah, I'm looking forward to creating 2020 with all these objectives and work on that.
Great. Yeah, thanks, Evan and Dave. And because other people on the call that said they were traveling or had to put the phone on mute, so I want to include everyone. Thank you, everyone, for being on the call today, and yeah, great connecting with you. And yeah, it's always such an honor to work with all of you. It's great, and I think yeah, it's nice to be in a new year, new decade, Olympic year, and yeah, a lot of excitement moving forward with our program. And welcome, Dave, to our Performing Edge coaching program here. And yeah, look forward to all of you. We can talk on the next call on January 23rd, and 2 weeks from now. And in the meantime, I'll put the recording up shortly on the website there that you can listen to, and some other tools that you can use for evaluating how your year went, looking back and moving forward. So thank you so much, everyone, and have a good week. And we'll talk to you next time on the 23rd, and I'll send you more information. Okay, thanks. Have a great week, and bye now.
Bye
for now.
Thank you. Bye. Take care. Bye.